I wonder how many of you remember Rodney Dangerfield, a comedian who kind of made the circuits, especially with The Tonight Show back in the 60s and 70s, and then he kind of got a big break in movies with the movie Caddyshack and several others back in the 80s, and got to be fairly well known. Well, his routine was that he'd be this nervous guy always doing his tie and talking about the fact that he doesn't get any respect. So I thought I'd share a few of his lines with you. He says, I tell you, when I was a kid, all I knew was rejection. My yo-yo, it never came back. With my dog, I don't get no respect. He keeps barking at the front door. He doesn't want to go out. He wants me to leave. I get no respect. I asked my old man if I could go ice skating on the lake, and he told me, wait till it gets warmer. I get no respect. I told my dentist my teeth are going yellow. He told me to wear a brown necktie. I get no respect. I looked at my family tree and found out that I was the sap. I looked at my family tree and found three dogs using it. Speaking of a hotel, boy, what a hotel that was. I got no respect because they stole my towel. And finally, even on his tombstone, he doesn't get any respect because it says, Rodney Dangerfield, there goes the neighborhood. Today's gospel reading is not an easy one to reflect on. In fact, a lot of pastors usually talk about maybe we should bypass that and just deal with the kids' portion, or maybe something talk about something else, because it's a difficult thing in which we hear today regarding divorce. But I think there's some clarification that we need to talk about, and a lot of it has to deal with having respect for life, giving people dignity, sharing the love that God gives to us, and being able to respect each other in such a way that in spite of differences, in spite of our own sinfulness, that we are able still to communicate and to share in the goodness and the grace that God gives to us through the love of Christ. As a product of divorce, as one who is divorced, one carries a stigma. Because you always will have that. You will always have that. And you, one of the reasons why Jesus speaks the way he does is because it does have an impact, not just on the two in relationship, but it also has impact on children, impact on others, impact on parents, church families, and it goes on. I understood that when my own one of my colleagues was going through a divorce, and we were very close to he and his wife, and when things started to fall apart, it got to be kind of uncomfortable to go, and we were invited to go out, or we'd go over to their place, or they'd come over, and it ultimately would end up with both of us getting singled out and going with either one of the other. Usually, my wife would go with her, and I would go with my friend, and we would hear about each other's situation, and it got to the point where it was just very uncomfortable. We can understand why Jesus says it's a sin, because it's not just about one or two people. But let's look at this story, this gospel, and the way it is presented to us, because it's not even really, the Pharisees aren't interested in talking about divorce. What they're interested in is trying to catch Jesus. They come to him, and this is one of the things that they do. They try to put him in a position where whichever answer that he has, they figure they can get him so that he'll get in trouble with one group or another, because there were different groups of understanding regarding divorce in Jesus' day. There were those who had a strict interpretation of divorce being, if your partner is unfaithful, then you had grounds for divorce. But then there was another group that said it could be for a lot less. So if your wife made a lousy cup of coffee or did something, didn't cook right or said something, they could divorce them. There was no right for women. Women had no rights whatsoever. They could not divorce men. But all a man had to do was to sign a certificate or to say, I divorce you three times, and that was it. So what Jesus does is when he is asked that question, he responds with a question, which is typical of Jesus. And he says, what does Moses command you to do? And then they quote Moses. And he responds by saying, because of your hardness of heart, these are the reasons why it is permitted. He knew the Pharisees didn't care about the situation. They were only trying to trick him. And he saw the unfairness in regards to the way in which men were dealing with women in those days. The disciples themselves were confused about it, so they came back to Jesus and they asked him again, and then that's we get this little description about adultery. But what's interesting about that is that not only does he say when a man marries another, but he says when a woman does that, which is something that would have been uncalled for in Jesus' day because women weren't allowed to do that. But see, in Roman society, they could. They could divorce. Jesus makes no judgment here. He just simply states this is what it is. It's sinful because it's hurtful. It's painful. It creates divisions among people. We lose respect for one another. We begin to say names. We do all these terrible things. When I was working at the nursing home, one of the things in orientation I remember being told by the CEO at the time is that we believe very firmly that this is not just a nursing care facility, but that this is the residents' home. They are not patients, they are residents. And we treat them as such, and the way that we treat them in respect is that you don't just go walking in the door, but that you knock before you enter, and you wait until you hear a response, or if you don't, slowly open the door and ask if it's okay to come in. A way of respecting your elders. A way of being able to say, you are still a valued member of this community, and I respect you for what you've done and what you do today. Too often we look at each other as disposable, and oftentimes that when there is no one else to take care of older individuals, they get put into places and are long forgotten. And yet these are the individuals who are people who have served in the armed forces. These are people who have served in government. These are people who have been your barbers, your doctors, all these different, your pastors. And we treat them like they're all the same. And yet they are individuals. They are people of God. And we do this with each other, male and female. Recent events on a national scale, we have seen all these things that are just terrible to watch. I can't tell you how much I was tied up into knots when I would see the news and hear what was being said and just so frustrated, so angry, so sad. I have a hard time believing that people cannot understand that when something, a gross injustice is done to you, you don't forget it. Heck, I can remember that I was paddled in fifth grade, and I can even tell you the teacher that paddled me. It's embedded in my mind. Not that I wasn't deserving, but I remember it, and to question, and this is one of the things that we have learned as we have become a congregation that is a part with Safe Haven, dealing with domestic violence, that is that you listen to those who talk about the pain that they've experienced. You don't pass it off. That you understand that things do happen to people, and they shouldn't be ignored, that we hear them, and we take it into heart, and we treat each other, helping to provide a safe space. That it's not right that we treat each other in such a way that we're subjugated, whether it's because of our sex or because of our position in life. Doesn't matter. We all are God's people. And that when we hear our leaders, you know, talking about the way that they do about women, it's disgusting. And we as a church need to say enough. We need to recognize how hurtful and painful it is of what we've done to each other, not only in the ways of being different in our sexual identity, but even in our cultural, our social, and our financial situations. Everybody deserves to be respected. Everyone is God's created by his hand. So we treat each other with dignity. We look to being able to share in God's love with each other. You know, I think about all the different things, and we even try to categorize to say, well, is this worthy of this or this worthy of that? You know, unfaithfulness just doesn't have to be with somebody in a partnership, having another relationship with another person in a physical way. It can be even by being married to your job. It can be by being absorbed into some kind of hobby or activity that you love that you ignore your spouse. It could be in the sense that you are tied to your parents and listen to whatever they say and that you totally ignore what it is that your spouse thinks of. Unfaithfulness comes in many forms. But here in this place, here in this country, where we see one in two people who are divorced, we need to understand that God forgives. Oftentimes, these verses are used by some people to clobber over the heads of those who are seeking to get out of a relationship because they are abused or because they are going through emotional abuse or whatever it might be. You need to stay in this because this is what God intended. God does not intend for you to be beaten up. God does not intend for you to be hurt. God does not intend for you to grovel or to be subservient to your partner. Recall what it says in Genesis this day, that God wanted to find a partner suitable for Adam. It wasn't a servant. A woman is not a second-class citizen, but is a helpmate, a partner in whatever it is that you endeavor to do. So today I just encourage you as you hear these words that it's not by accident that it's paired up with the story about the children. In fact, for the last several weeks, we have been hearing about Jesus speaking to the disciples, teaching them what it is to be beyond themselves, to not concern themselves with others who are sharing Jesus' name for healing, or not to be concerned about what position you're going to have, a power when Jesus supposedly takes the throne that they think he's going to take. But he instead tells them that you be careful that you do not trip other people up. Last week we heard that it was better for you to have a millstone hung around your neck and thrown into the sea than to trip up a child or to trip up someone else when it comes into relationship with God. And I wonder, you know, as our children watch us and the way that we treat each other, is it any wonder that when they start to act and behave as we do? I have learned in time what is important. I've learned that in love, it's amazing, it's wonderful, and I've also learned that when things are not so good, that you struggle and you hurt and you are pained. Today, as we witness the baptism of Lou Yaddell, it is my desire, and I believe it is your desire as well, to see that she is brought up in a place that will be safe and that she herself will never have to endure some of the things that women have endured to this day. That she is treated respectfully and that she is seen as a child of God who has gifts to share and deserve the right to be recognized as a person of this community. When I first went into seminary, I was a little surprised at the number of women that were in my class. I really wasn't exposed to women in the ministry all that much. Now, I'm talking back in, I hate to tell you this, 1983. And not quite half of my class was women. But where I grew up, my father was pastor, and you know, the people that he associated with, all the clergy around there were all males. And you know, as I got into seminary, it just seemed kind of weird. What were these women doing there? And then I learned very quickly that these were gifted, talented individuals who were called by God, who also saw that they were drawn to the ministry to bring the Word of God to others and to me. And I learned in that process, as I listened to them in preaching class and witnessed in other places, of just the gifts that they have. And I walked away from that with greater and a much greater understanding of what call means. Just because I have a certain physical presence doesn't make me any different than someone who has different physical qualities. We are all children of God. We are all image made in the image of God, if I understand correctly, right? And so I have learned over time how valuable and how much I treasure those opportunities and those relationships to work with people of all backgrounds. You realize that it's not possible for what gets done here without having a partner in ministry such as Pastor Marcy. I realize that I cannot do what I do at St. Andrew's without the fact that she is able to bring leadership here to this congregation, and that I can walk away in confidence knowing that things will be taken care of. When Pastor Marcy says she's going to do something, I know she does it. And hopefully she has that confidence in me that I reciprocate when I am asked to do something, and that we are able to complete whatever it is that we set out to do. I found the same thing at St. Andrew's with working with Mother Val. Tremendous individual. And she has taught me a lot, even for an old guy like me. And then I look to our dean, Julie Schneider Thomas, who also provides wonderful pastoral leadership and pastoral support. It's time to wash away some of these attitudes and understanding. It's time to stand up to those who are abusers, who are violent towards others. It's time to say it's enough. We here at the church provide a safe space where all people are welcome. If you are struggling with abuse or whatever, you need to talk to us. We'll find the help that you need. If you are an abuser, we will do the same. But don't expect it that we will ignore it, because it will not go away by itself. And that's something we need to address here. We address in society. We address with those who lead us to say, no more. So may God bless us, and may we too approach him with that sense and understanding and the awe of a child who had no position in life, who was helpless and totally only dependent upon its parents or whoever could provide for it. The disciples felt they weren't enough to come to see Jesus, and they were pushing them away, and he says, no, let them come to me. May we also have the mind of a child in the sense of understanding that I am sinful, but I also know that I can come to a place where I will be loved and be held by the God and Father and Mother of us all through Jesus Christ. Amen.